Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
I'm David Suchet, and this is Blood Ties.
For the last 17 years, we've been having lunch every Saturday, but now we bring you true crime stories from lockdown. This is Blood Ties. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wonsall, and I'm here with my father, Jeffrey Wonsall.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's a pleasure that you're there. Thank you so much for listening. I can't tell you how appreciative Molly and I are. It makes a huge difference to us, and we really think about you a lot.
We do. It's true.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about, well, let's get to that. Let's do something cheerful first, Mo.
Well, the only thing I would say is, how was your week? Well, I don't think any of us have got huge amounts of cheery news from the week.
No, I haven't had a lot of cheery news from the week. It's just quite a, I've been doing another case for World's Most Evil Killers.
Gosh, it's one we've done on the podcast, though.
Yes, it is. The Babes in the Wood Killer, which we did a good time ago, actually.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting one. But you can't really... I mean, I prepare this podcast. I'm doing this really quite awful man. And I find it quite difficult to get... Where's the fun? You know, I keep looking... for a bit of light relief in the midst of
all this. Yeah, but then you probably watch telly and watch something else a bit miserable, more crime drama.
I did watch a bit of that, but I did watch the Netflix series on Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, all four parts. Let's not talk about that, because that is not jolly at all in any way.
oh dear.
So yeah, no, I don't think you've really hit nail on the head there with something jolly, Dad. That's the worst and most of our podcasts.
Well, yes, a good deal. But well, what could I say? I thought I might watch a comedy.
That's a good idea.
You know, something light.
You could watch the new series of Queer Eye, which just came out yesterday. That's what I'll be watching.
Oh, I'll have a look at that. That's a good idea.
That's like the most life-affirming, jolly program there is. It's just like when five men go into someone's life and like... give them a whole load of new affirmations and ways of looking at things, and it's all just about being positive and kind and looking after yourself, and it's really, yeah, it's very cheering.
Oh, well, I'll have a look at that.
Just the kind of positivity that we need right now.
Yes, but we need a good deal of positivity right now. But nevertheless, as I've said to you over during the week, you know, we're nearer the end than the beginning.
We are. Yes, definitely.
Things are beginning to change. I went to my little Waitrose this morning at 8 o'clock, and it was deserted. There were two of us in the shop.
Yeah, I noticed that. I walked Betsy this morning and the greengrocer's was empty, and in the sort of height of lockdown, people would have gone there very early because they wouldn't have been able to go. So it feels like a bit more normal.
Yeah, feels more... Yeah, it was very quiet in the streets, but...
It was 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, so I don't think that's hugely surprising.
Well, I quite like because I always get up early.
I know, but I'm not surprised the streets were quiet at 8 a.m. on a Saturday in central London.
No, it's it was actually rather nice. I hadn't been out, you see. I've been really isolating, and
I know. I think you need to start trying to take more walks. I have said that to you.
You have. Good advice. But I have to say, I'm a bit nervous. I mean, I know, probably because I'm getting old or silly.
I think if you take a walk, and it's fine. Like, it's not very busy in Central.
No, it's not.
If you feel nervous, go earlier in the morning when there's fewer people around. But you work at that time, so it's tricky. It doesn't fit with your schedule very well.
Yeah, my problem is that I get my best work done between, say, 8 and 12.
I think if you go at whatever, 2 o'clock or something every day, just get into the habit of it. It's You can cross the road if you don't want to walk past someone.
Oh, sure.
Wear your new mask.
Yes. Well, absolutely. I didn't wear it this morning.
No, you're supposed to wear it in shops.
I didn't.
No, I know. I doubt you will, but hey.
Oh, dear. Oh, gosh.
Well, it'll become mandatory, then maybe you will.
Okay, maybe. Could I just raise something that we talked about during the week, since the last podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very concerned. People found our last podcast very difficult, and I confess we found it difficult too. It was a case of a child killing a child, and that's a very totemic, horrifying thought. And I suppose the contrast with this week's, which is a man who killed relentlessly, somehow doesn't seem as frightening or as emotional as Thompson Venables and poor Jamie Bulger. Now, yeah. Why is that? Why is that, Mo?
God, thanks, Dad. I don't know. We've talked about that before. It's like it's easier to distance yourself from, it's like why I like Victorian murders or poisoners from, old-fashioned quotes, stories. I don't know. I think there's certain topics that we cover that are just really sad on top of being evil.
Yeah.
And I think where there's that, of course, all murder is sad and for all victims and, but there's some instances where it's just so tragic. And I think children is one of the hardest, and it doesn't matter when it is or...
Yeah.
It's just the worst one. It's just the worst kind.
I totally understand that. In fact, the case we're going to talk about today, he actually did kill two children. But somehow that they fade into insignificance compared to the adult victims. And he's not remembered for that, though that's horrifying. He's remembered for the adult killings.
I think I would need to read a lot of books and probably do 7 years of a PhD to be able to sensibly set forth an argument that structures why some crimes seem more tragic than others. And I don't want to undermine any particular crime. I think, all crimes are tragic, all victims are tragic, all the circumstances are tragic. I think some, just for some reason, are more affecting than others. And as I say, we'd need to do an awful lot of research and speak to a lot of people who are much cleverer than us to work out why that is.
At one point a long time ago, I was thinking of writing a book about children who kill children. And in the end, it became too painful, too painful to even contemplate. And, I understand it. Viscerally, I understand it. But I'm not sure I completely understand how it all works. However,
I think that's the whole point, isn't it? Sorry, but just to say, you asked me that last week. Like, did they know what the difference between right and wrong? I think there's the moral issue interwoven with this too. Yeah, anyway, this would be a very long conversation.
Yes, and we need to get on. We're doing a case this week that I wasn't very familiar with, suggested by someone called Cadence, who wrote to us on the 20th of March.
Oh, great. So what are we doing this week?
We're doing a man called Paul John Knowles, who is always known as the Casanova Killer. He is, of course, American.
Okay, the Casanova Killer.
Paul John Knowles was born on April the 17th, 1946, in Orlando, Florida. He did not have a happy childhood. Basically, he was shuffled off by his parents into foster homes and reformatories. he actually grew up to be a rather handsome, tall, charming man. He didn't put anybody off. He was he had a way with him. Later in his life, one of his conquests described him as a cross between Robert Redford and Ryan O'Neill. Handsome, 6 foot tall, red hair, charming. But I'm afraid he had an appetite for petty crime. At the age of 19, in 1965, he went to prison for the first time. And he spent pretty much the rest of his teenage years and into adulthood, young adulthood, in jail. He was, I suppose you could say, an expert con man. As some prisoners do, he attracted correspondence from women. And in this particular case, he's in jail in Florida. In this particular case, he attracts a lady called Angela Kovic. Now, she lives in San Francisco. Nevertheless, she writes to him, and a correspondence begins. Now, he's a skillful, apparently charming, handsome man.
Manipulator, by the sounds of it.
That would be the sound of it to me, too. anyway, she decides that she'll fly from San Francisco to Florida, across the United States, to visit him.
As you do.
As one does. She visits him, and the first thing that Knowles does is propose. Will you marry me?
That escalated.
Yes. I mean, it's you would almost think it was laughable, but she clearly didn't think it was at all. And she accepted. And what's more, she hired him a lawyer, because he wasn't exactly flush with money. She hired him a lawyer who managed to get him out of jail. He'd served his sentence. So here you have a man who's been serving a series of minor infringements. He's been in jail for some years, off and on. And all of a sudden, he's free. And he, of course, he flies to San Francisco. Presumably she bought the ticket.
Mm.
To arrange the wedding, and so that we'd all be, you know, terrific. Now comes what you might describe this slightly odd bit. Angela Kovic consults regularly a psychic. And the psychic says to her, a really dangerous man has come into your life. Bear in mind, he's left jail. He's flown
to San Francisco. She doesn't immediately think, my new husband. Or does she?
No, she hasn't married him.
Ah, okay. Oh, I see. This is before, right?
Okay, this is before.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons, all of which known only to the said Ms. Kovic, she calls off the wedding and breaks up with him. Okay?
Okay.
Legend has it, though it's never been proved, that night, the night of the breakup, the night that it all fell apart, Knowles killed 3 people on the streets of San Francisco. It may be a legend, it may be true. In the, you know, downtown San Francisco, it was a pretty difficult place. Especially in the 60s. Nevertheless, he doesn't take it out on Angela Kovic. He flies back to Florida, to Jacksonville, which is pretty much his home. He circulates around the southern United States, sometimes in Florida, where he's born, quite often in Georgia, just north. But something has flipped in Knowles's mind. And he gets back to Florida, and of course, being, you know, it's par for the course in his case, I'm afraid, he gets arrested for stabbing a bartender during a fight in a bar in July 1974. Believe it or not, he escapes from the local sheriff's cell and goes on the run. That's July 26, 1974. That night, that very night, he breaks into the house of a 65-year-old lady called Alice Curtis. She's bound and gagged, and he ransacks the place. He's looking for money. He's got no money. But, and now it's unclear, she chokes to death on the gag. Now, whether she choked to death when he was there or after he'd left is unclear. But nevertheless, what he did next, and this is why I was referring to this question earlier, what he did next, he stole her car. He grabbed her car. And then he wanted to abandon it. Now, he knows the area well. He's been living in parts of the time in Jacksonville. And he's about to dump the stolen car, and he sees two girls, Lillian and Milette Anderson, 11 and 7, whom he knows and whom he recognises, and of course they recognise him. He's been around. You know, he's a lowlife who's been around. He kidnaps them, and fearful that they will identify him, he strangles them both and dumps them in a swamp. Why?
I was going to say, it's very odd behaviour.
Yes. Well, I'd call it profoundly dysfunctional.
They must have seen him do something more than just about to dump a car.
Well, maybe he'd simply lost it and was convinced that paranoia had taken over.
Maybe.
However, what that did... was to flick the switch of what became a 3-month-long killing spree, literally across the states. On August the 1st, a matter of days later, he kills a 13-year-old girl who's walking home. No reason. August the 2nd, he meets a woman, a 49-year-old woman at Atlantic Beach, goes to her apartment, strangles her with a stocking and steals her television. There's no rhyme nor reason to any of these killings. They're entirely random.
Yeah, there's no pattern or...
No.
I mean, they're women.
Yes. But even that, he breaks even that pattern in a moment or two. Towards the end of August, he turns up in Georgia, forces his way into the house of Kathy Sue Pierce and strangles her, but leaves her 3-year-old son unharmed. There is genuinely no rhyme nor reason for these killings. It's impulse killing. Then on the 3rd of September, he breaks the pattern and meets a man called William Bates, who's a sort of marketing man in a bar in Lima, in Ohio. He's crisscrossing the United States, not sticking to one area, so we're not doing geographical patterning.
Well, he's crossing state lines, so they won't connect the dots either, will they?
That's right, and it didn't. He leaves the bar with William Bates, attacks him, and takes his car, and leaves his nude body dumped in the woods. Now, is there a sexual motive there? Is this something about gay fear? What's going on here? Or is it just another impulse? Is it just...
Maybe if he had such a difficult childhood, there's stuff in there that we don't know about that's the trigger for all of this stuff.
It's very likely. I think that, as we've said to each other many times, the potency of abuse in childhood lasts a lifetime, and it could well have been the case. But William Bates is the only male victim. With Bates' car, he goes to Nevada. I mean, it's a good old drive. And on the 18th of September 1974, he shoots two elderly campers, Emmett and Lewis Johnson. Again, for no apparent reason. On the 21st, just a few days later, he's in Texas, where he abducts and rapes and strangles a motorcyclist whose bike has broken, and she's looking for help. Why? Just because he can? Just because that's what you do? It takes your breath away.
We're talking just about... gone so far down a path by that point. He was just doing anything and everything.
Yeah. In other words, he's completely lost any contact.
Well, also, yeah, we've talked about that before, haven't we, as well, when you, like, there must be a moment. If you have a psychotic break and you start a spree, there must be a moment in that. Well, there's two things. One, you're either in that godlike state where you're like, I've got this far, no one's caught me, I can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would assume, although maybe the first one is more likely, that you think, well, I'm going to get caught at some point, so I might as well do whatever I want.
Both are plausible.
Yeah.
Anyway, a couple of days later, he's in Birmingham, Alabama, where he meets a beautician called Ann Dawson. And now, funnily enough, she seems to stick with him for a few days. They go on a little bit of a road trip. Well, they would, wouldn't they? But finally, a few days later, on the 29th of September 1974, he kills her too and dumps her in the Mississippi River. The body count is now astonishing. But, as you quite rightly say, he's crossing state lines at a speed of knots. And it makes him very difficult to track. I mean, he's just dumping bodies as if they were garbage anywhere he fancies. By the middle of October, he's in Connecticut. You know, he's driven all the way up the east coast of the United States. And this time, for reasons we have absolutely no idea, he breaks into the house of a woman called Karen Wine, who lives there with her 16-year-old daughter, Dawn. He ties them both up, he rapes them, and then, of course, he strangles them both. Why? Why choose them? What had they done? Had they just happened to be there? Why did
probably
he choose their
he
house?
Sounds like an opportunist to me.
Well, yeah. Why break into their house? They hadn't done anything to him. No reason for this. By the 2 days later, he's in Virginia. Oh, he's gone from Connecticut to Virginia. I mean, he's moving more than Ted Bundy did when Bundy went on his spree across America, where he breaks into the house of another young lady who's 53. And for a change, instead of strangling her, he shoots her with her husband's rifle.
Gosh.
He's still driving William Bates's car. The man he
murdered.
Nude. Yeah.
Yeah.
He picks up two hitchhikers. He's now in Key West in Florida. He's driven miles again. Key West, I've been there. It's a very long way from anywhere. It's literally 90 miles down.
Back to where he came from, though, no?
Well, back to Florida. he picks up two hitchhikers, clearly intending to kill them. But he's pulled over by a traffic cop.
Classic.
Classic. who says he's committed some violation, and he's so terrified, he doesn't, thankfully, he doesn't kill the hitchhikers. In fact, he drives them all the way to Miami. Quite a long drive from Key West, all along the Keys and across all those causeways. When he says he dumps them, he drops them off, no harm comes to them. And now, for some reason that I still find fascinating, he tapes a confession of what he's been doing and gives it to the lawyer that Angela Kovic had hired for him to get him out of jail in Florida. The lawyer says to him, look, surrender yourself. He says, no, I'm not doing that. Just simply gives him this audio tape and leaves, and indeed sets off again. It is, to call this bizarre behaviour would be an underestimate. I mean, it's most extraordinary.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Well, in early November, he's back in Georgia. Now, some of the American research on this suggests that he's had a longtime girlfriend in Georgia, whom he was always keen to go back and see. Well, possibly. In fact, I've seen at least one interview with a woman who claims to have been his girlfriend. Maybe she was. It's very difficult for us to know because he's so difficult to pin down. And as will come clear in a moment or two, he's not alive to tell us. However, on November the 6th, he befriends a woman called Carswell Carr. He's a handsome man. Great.
I just look at his picture. He is quite handsome.
Yeah. She invites him back to spend the night. He stabs her to death and also strangles her 15-year-old daughter.
Two days later,
he meets the British journalist Sandy Fawkes, whom, funnily enough, I know, in a bar in Atlanta. And much the same process. And Sandy went on to write a book about it. They try, and perhaps this is part of the clue here that we can come back to. They try to have sex, but he isn't capable of it. Sandy was to suggest later that he wasn't capable of consensual sex. It always had to be about violence. It had to be about control. It had to be at the point of a gun or a knife or...
Yeah.
And finally, they break up. And literally, not long afterwards, he rapes a woman at gunpoint. Was that shame, embarrassment? There is a sexual motive in here, but we don't clearly know what it is. We know it's something, but we can't be sure. And I would agree with you. I think it's something to do with his childhood. A few days later, we're still in November 1974, he invades the house of an invalid lady called Beverly Maybe and abducts her sister, who isn't an invalid, and steals their car. Her sister is unharmed, and he drops her off. That's what makes this quite difficult to read, because it's not, okay, abduction, sex, killing, dump, abduction. No, on the contrary.
Yeah.
But he's dumped by this point William Bates's car, and he steals Beverly Maybe's car. Now, she reports the stolen car to the police. You would, wouldn't you?
As you would, yeah.
Yeah. And on the morning of November the 16th, 1974, a Florida Highway Patrol trooper called Charles Campbell recognizes the stolen car and pulls Knowles over. He leans in, you know, can I see your, the usual procedure, you know, can I see your driving license, insurance, etc. And Knowles grabs his gun from his holster and takes him hostage in the highway patrol car.
So, now, he takes the policeman hostage in the police car.
That's right. And sets off with the sirens wailing.
Oh, no.
He then decides that perhaps it would be a good idea not to be in quite such a prominent vehicle. So, forgive me, this is almost like Keystone Cops if it weren't so horrifying. He stops a perfectly innocent motorist called James Meyer and puts... He takes him hostage as well.
But so they all go into...
They got
James'
go into,
car.
He's got James's car and he's got James Meyer and the trooper hostage in the car. Now, that would be light-hearted, I suppose, had it not turned out so badly. He drives these two into a wood, handcuffs them to each other round a tree and shoots them both in the head at close range.
This guy's psychotic.
He gets back into the car and tries to drive through a roadblock, two highway patrol cars.
Yeah.
He loses control of the car and smashes into a tree. He leaps out of the car and runs for it. Now, the highway patrol are fully up and running now. They've got dogs, helicopters, and a lot of officers. But somehow or other, Knowles eludes them all. Just disappears.
He probably definitely does think he's God by this point.
I would have thought that's highly likely. They do everything they can to find him, but as is so often the case, in the end, it's a perfectly ordinary civilian, a Vietnam veteran called David Clark, who on the 17th of November, the day after these terrible events, stops Knowles with a shotgun and marches him to a neighbour's house where they call the police.
Thank goodness for that.
He's killed at least 20 people. He was later to insist that he killed 35 people in this extraordinary spree in 1974. But I think he's still spinning the authorities a line. I think he'd already decided that he'd had his moment of glory. Perhaps he hoped that Sandy Fawkes, the British journalist he'd met in Atlanta, would write a book about him. I don't know. But what I am clear about is that he had decided that 28 years was quite long enough to live. And so on December the 12th, 1974, the sheriff, called Earl Lee, and a Georgia Bureau of Investigation agent called Ronnie Angel were transporting Knowles to the place he said he'd dumped Trooper Campbell's pistol. It was a ruse. It was a ruse to get them in a car with him. They're in the car and he pulls the same stunt. He grabs the sheriff's revolver and discharges it through the holster, and there's a great the sheriff's driving and there's a great fight, and the agent Angel shoots him three times in the chest, killing him instantly. If you look at a very interesting, and there is a very, very interesting audio tape of a conversation that Knowles had had with a psychiatrist while he was being remanded in the wake of his capture, he talks about the fact, my life's been terrible. I didn't want to continue. I was determined to die. There was nothing in my life that I liked. It was all so almost a nihilist. There's nothing for him. And he was determined that in the end he would commit suicide by cop, which is clearly what he thought would happen.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it is an extraordinary and extended killing spree of the most remarkable kind, of no justifiable pattern, or across state lines, all kinds of different places, different ages, children, adult. What drove that? I'm afraid I can't truly offer an explanation. I think it makes this a very interesting case, one I hadn't been aware of, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't know about it at all either.
But it's chilling. It's chilling. It's as if he just simply dropped off a cliff. There's nothing in my life I've ever liked. What's the happiest moment, he was asked by the psychiatrist? I haven't had one. What's the worst moment? They're all worse. What do you wish? I wish I hadn't been born.
Yeah, obviously, just very unhappy.
Yeah.
Difficult time when he was a child.
But doesn't necessarily mean you go out on the road and kill 20
people.
No,
God, no. Not at all. I don't think of that as an excuse.
But he was obviously very attractive to women. No question of that. You know, Sandy Fawkes described him as a cross between Robert Redford and Ryan O'Neill.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't use any of that in a positive way, so.
No. No. Well, darling, that...
Well, there you go, the Casanova killer. Thank you, Dad. I didn't know anything about him at all.
Well, I'd heard of the case, but I didn't know the detail. And I think the devil in this story is in the detail, because it is so phenomenally random. It's just
it's very
weird.
Expansive as well. It's quite hard to get away with that kind of amount of... I mean, I think the travelling about is probably the secret to it.
Yeah. Texas, Nevada, Ohio, Connecticut.
Crossing state lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But always in the end, sort of gravitating back to Florida and Georgia.
Mm.
Just into that part of the United States. I find it... Random killers are always very difficult to pin down. And I find Knowles very difficult. I mean, he's killed at least 20 people and he's only 28 and he's effectively committed suicide by cop.
Yeah. What a troubled individual.
Deeply. But lots of troubled individuals don't go on to kill at this level.
No,
this
I'm
intensity.
Not. I'm not excusing it. I'm just highlighting it.
Yes. Anyway, let's go back to something more cheerful. Let's go.
Thanks, Dad.
What does the next week hold? Something jolly, I hope, in these lockdown days.
Well, I mean, we're not up to much, are we?
No.
Yes, I hope it will be a better week. This week was a bit of the world. Isn't in a good way this week, is it? So
no.
So yes, we hope for a more positive week next week. And
yes, I very much hope.
We're going to try and keep it light. In your spare time, we should watch mainly Queer Eye and comedy. Let's really try and fill the space outside of work with things that are more cheering. I think that should be our drive for next week, so that when we come to record the podcast, we can talk about all the fun things that we've listened to or watched or read.
Yes, I've already looked at what I've got to do for next week, which is not cheery either, I'm afraid.
I did have a hysterical laughing fit this morning watching a YouTube clip of a story. Sometimes I watch like clips from the Graham Norton show where people tell funny stories, and that really makes me laugh. I'll send you the one. This particular one. I watched it. It has me hysterical every time I watch it, and I've watched it so many times.
Oh, I do. I'd like to see it. I'd like anything that makes me laugh.
I'll send it to you.
You know.
See what you think. I think it's very funny.
Good.
Yeah.
I might watch Moonstruck again.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
No.
That'll keep you jolly for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
But I think it's very important to lighten the tone, as you quite rightly remind me. You
know, let's really try for next week. We'll be accountable to report back on what fun things we watched or things we did that made us happier.
Yes, quite right. Quite right, darling.
All right. Well, thank you, Dad. I'll just quickly say thank you to all the people that help us out. Thank you to our producer, Poppy Damon, who magically makes us being remote unremote. To Audio Boom for hosting us. My brother, Dan, who does the music. My friend, George, who drew our caricature. To Jeffrey, who does all the hard work. And to you, the listeners, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And as I usually say at the end, please, please be careful out there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.